Good people. People of God, what's good? Yo, this is your boy, Pastor Tim. This is another podcast with Pastor Tim and I. I'm excited about this word that God dropped in my spirit early. Let me tell y'all, it's early in the morning. But I really, really wanted to link up with you guys and share with you what God has given me. And I just hope that it's a blessing to you. Of course, as always, I thank you for listening. I hope that you share it with someone, but most importantly, I hope that it's a blessing to you. So I woke up and I'm having this conversation with God, and the conversation is centered around breakthrough. I'm having a conversation with God about breakthrough, and I'm thinking about how we go through moments and we go through seasons where we feel as though we've been held captive. And sometimes we're held captive to our thoughts. Sometimes we're held captive to something that we're dealing with, some struggle that we have. Sometimes we're held captive to disobedience. Sometimes we're held captive simply in this place in our minds where we think that we can't come out, and we become a prisoner of what we're dealing with. And of course, when I first started thinking about this particular thought, I thought about Paul and Silas. I thought about Paul and Silas being in a scenario where they're out doing the work. This is in Acts, I think, like the 16th chapter. Paul and Silas are out. They are doing the work of the Lord. And I found the parallel in this, because many times as believers or as people of faith attempting to do what God has commissioned us to do, we often encounter difficulty along the way. So Paul and Silas are out. They are ministering in a place where God has called them to be. And along the way, they encounter this demon-possessed girl who basically she's like a fortune teller. And so she's out, but she's somewhat antagonizing Paul and Silas, because everywhere they go, she finds herself following behind them with this demon-possessed spirit inside of her. And so, just like many of us, as we're out doing exactly what God has commissioned us to do, we have something that attempts to attach itself to us. And this thing that attempts to attach itself to us is annoying. And so what Paul and Silas do, what Paul does, is Paul turns around and he speaks to the demon inside of her. And when he speaks to the demon inside of her, he commands that this demon leave, and not only leave her body, but leave him alone. And so it's in this moment where he does what God has called him to do. He speaks to this demon that is somewhat antagonizing him. And in the moment in which he does it, he finds himself a captive and a prisoner to the people in that region. And when he finds himself in this cell, he finds himself in a place where he is now held captive simply after doing what God has called him to do. And the men of the area, I'm paraphrasing, the men of the area ask the jailer to ensure that Paul nor Silas get out. And so the Bible says that the jailer throws them in the inner part of the dungeon, and he shackles them in the place of the prison. And so oftentimes when we find ourselves held captive, we're not necessarily held captive because things have been going wrong, or because you've been doing things that you were not supposed to do. Sometimes you find yourself in a place where you feel like, or maybe even the reality is, you've been held captive because you've been doing what you were supposed to do. So if I had to give this lesson or this podcast a theme or a topic, my topic would be you lose. And my topic is you lose because it started making me think that the only way you have a breakthrough is if you determine inside yourself that you won't lose. But if you don't have a determination that you are going to have a breakthrough moment, you lose. And so the idea that you lose really has a multi-dimensional meaning to me, because if I look in the mirror and I make the decision that I'm not going to fight, if I make the decision that I'm going to lay down and take what's coming to me, or if I allow myself to stay in a place where I don't realize that I'm victorious, I lose. And you lose too. If you don't allow yourself to stay in the place that's spiritual, you lose. So I don't really want to deal with the text from the story of Paul and Silas. Really where God started leading me this morning was 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10, I think, is so dope because it says something. I have to read it in King James Version first, and then I'll read it in NLT because I think the NLT is dope too. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." And right there, you realize that Paul and Silas are in a place where they're at odds with the people in the area where they're doing the work of the Lord. And sometimes when you are in the place where God has commissioned you to be and you're doing the work of the Lord, you will experience and you will encounter warfare. But what you have to know is the weapons of your warfare are not carnal. First things first, you lose if you think the weapons of your warfare are carnal. They're not. It's not about flesh. This is not an issue of flesh. This is something spiritual that takes place because you are disrupting what the enemy is attempting to do. The weapons of your warfare are not carnal. And so Paul and Silas deal with this demon-possessed girl. And as they deal with this demon-possessed girl, her masters are now going to lose out on money because they freed her of the demon that was inside of her. And so all the fortune telling that she's doing, all the money that she's making her masters has now ceased because they've spoken to this demon inside of her. And so when you find yourself encountering a demonic presence, you can't deal with demonic presence in the natural. You can't deal with demonic presence in your flesh. For the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There was a stronghold on this woman who had this demon on the inside of her. And Paul was only able to speak to this demon out of the spirit. And so as you engage in a warfare of this nature in your personal life, yo, when you're out here and you're trying to do what God told you to do, and you're encountering demonic presence, you can't deal in the flesh and start looking at yourself and saying to yourself, yo, I don't really understand what's going on. Man, I feel like I'm beat down. I feel like I'm trapped. I feel like I'm going through. Yo, get out your feelings. Because what you are dealing with is spiritual. And so what Paul and Silas do is they tap into the spirit to speak to this demon-possessed girl. But not only that, when they find themselves locked in the dungeon of the prison, they don't sit there with this woe is me attitude, taking what's dealt to them. They find themselves in a place that's spiritual, and they do something that I think is extremely instrumental. They begin to pray. And one of the things that the people of God forget that they need to do is they forget the importance and the power of prayer in their lives. And so as the enemy begins to encamp around the places where God has called you to be, and you start engaging in war, you allow the warfare to tap you out of the spirit and you stop praying. And so when you stop praying, you no longer possess the power that you need to overcome what you're dealing with. Prayer equals power. So if you find yourself in a season when you're in war, when you find yourself in a season when you're at battle, when you find yourself engaging in demonic activity and demonic presence, you cannot afford to tap out of the spirit and stop praying. You got to pray more. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Yo, you're dealing with things in the spirit that are attempting to exalt itself over the knowledge of God. And so if the Bible's talking about casting down imaginations, you have to know that verbiage is dealing with the place of your mind. I'm going to read it to you in the NLT version. It says, verse 4, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. Wait a minute. Human reasoning would suggest that you continue to deal from the place of your mind, or that you would deal in the flesh. And so what God is trying to show us through the text is you cannot allow this warfare that you're engaging in to be something that you deal with naturally. It has to be something that you are willing to engage in spiritually. Human reasoning can't get you out of this. But you have to use the mighty weapons of God to overcome. It says, we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We destroy every proud obstacle. There are things that continuously try to exalt itself above God. And so the enemy tries to use pride and tries to bully and position himself to make you think that you don't have the power to overcome. And so when the enemy comes and puffs his chest out and tries to show you, yo, I got a whole army, I got a whole legion of things trying to take you out. But you got to remember that you are more than a conqueror. And so it doesn't matter what the enemy tries to exalt itself or tries to bully you with. You got something greater. But this is what happens. The Bible talks about it in Ephesians, and it talks about putting on the full armor of God. And the reality is, you, me, believers, we find ourselves engaging in warfare without ensuring that we've got the entire armor covering us. Yeah. You'll go to battle, but you won't have your breastplate of righteousness on. And so you find yourself out engaging in a war where your entire chest is exposed. And so you don't have the ability to deal or engage at the same level, because the righteousness that should cover you doesn't. And so when the enemy starts trying to antagonize you, you aren't able to shield it the way you should shield it, because you came to war without all of the things that you needed. You didn't have all your armor. And so the helmet of salvation that's required to cover your head, you didn't have that. You're leaving salvation at home. Or your sword, which is the word, which is the thing that you're going to fight with, you don't have it. And so you are now engaging in a war that allows you to be vulnerable. And so as the enemy engages you, you are exposed. And the exposure isn't good, because if the enemy continues to study you the way he's been studying you for years, he knows exactly what you're not going to bring to war. So you'll show up, but you might show up without your feet covered in the gospel, or you don't have your breastplate of righteousness, or your loins aren't girded with truth, or your helmet of salvation isn't there, or the word that should shield you or that you should fight with, you've left it at home. And so because you've not put your entire armor on, and let's be candid, the armor is literally covering yourself in the word of God. I've got the helmet of salvation, so I recognize how detrimental this thing is. And if I don't have it, do I leave my salvation on the table? And so people walk away from the faith because they didn't have on everything they needed, or they thought the fight that they were fighting was something that was natural, and so they missed it. And then you miss God. And because you didn't have the helmet of salvation on, you walked away from the faith and you no longer believe. So now when we see your tweets and your Twitter posts and your Instagram or your Facebook, now it is without God because you weren't covered in the armor. And so I go through the timeline and I'm looking at people who I knew once believed and now they don't believe anymore. And I simply think it's because you engaged in a war that you thought was natural, and you engaged in a war in your flesh and you didn't have on the full armor. And so now your Twitter post changed and it went from, man, I believe God, to I don't know about God. And it went from I can overcome anything to I'm dealing with everything. And so even the women of God have now changed their declaration of faith. And I can see the change of their declaration of faith by what they post. And it started with you just posting yourself having a drink. But now you in the club every week turning up. And where you would cover your body before, now less is more. So the more I show, the more you show who you are and where you are. And so you ain't thinking about no breastplate of righteousness because your entire body is exposed. And it's visible to anybody that's watching. And so it's a slow transition. And so what happens is you start taking off a piece of the armor one thing at a time. And so first, maybe it was your breastplate of righteousness. So righteousness don't look the same to you anymore. And the Bible talks about the people of God going to establish a level of righteousness that they thought was acceptable to God. And so now the narrative shifts because you've shifted. It ain't that God left you. It's that you left God and you begin to leave pieces of what once covered you. And now you become more vulnerable as you engage in this warfare. So when you engage and now you want to speak to something and something happens and now you feel like you're held captive, you lose because you're not in that dungeon praying. But I came to share if you would indulge me for just a moment and recognize that if you would simply trust God enough to just keep the armor on. Yo, keep the armor on, man. You are not in a war that lends you to being able to take off pieces of the armor because it exposes the most vulnerable parts of who you are. And the thing that you're dealing with is so much more spiritual than it is natural, although because you are in the natural, it feels real natural to you. Because what we have to remember is the enemy still used a demon-possessed girl, somebody in the flesh, some real person that Paul and Silas could visibly see. She was a tangible thing that they could touch. And so the natural part of your mind says, it's a person that I'm dealing with. This is flesh. This is real. What I'm experiencing is taking place in the natural. So quite naturally, it's got to be real, right? Well, it is real. But what we often overlook is the possibility that the person that I'm dealing with may be possessed with a demon. And so what I'm dealing with is demonic. And it makes this spiritual warfare and not natural warfare. So you keep fighting, but you're fighting in the natural. So you want to fight and argue with the person. And Paul never engages the person. Paul begins to speak to the demon inside the person. But if you ain't spiritual enough, and if you don't have on the armor, and if you aren't tuned in, and if you have not given yourself over to the idea that what you're dealing with is taking place at a much higher level, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power, spiritual wickedness, and things that are in high places. So, the Bible says that every high thing that tries to exalt itself, yo, you gotta listen and link the word. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And the Bible says in the text that we're reading in 2 Corinthians 10, that these high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge and the power of God. So if I connect the text and I look at what's taking place, I realize that it's something high, it's spiritual. But if you took off the armor and now you getting high, as opposed to recognizing that what you're dealing with is something that's in a high place, you won't recognize it. So you deal in the flesh. So you lose. So you end up a captive and a prisoner in the place of your mind because you don't recognize what's taking place. And so now you keep trying to fight physically and it's spiritual. So my question then becomes, what will we do to change? And I know that I'm like super intense as I'm delivering this, but I'm just at this place where I want us to be winners. I'm at this place where I want to be the person that experiences breakthrough. And I'm looking at the people of God and I'm saying, why is it that we can't recognize that it's our season for a breakthrough? And God is like, yo, you can't break through if you tap out. You'll never have a breakthrough if you have a loser mentality. You will never experience the breakthrough of God if you don't stay plugged in. You can't experience it. If you take off your covering, you take off the victor's armor, you can't be victorious. There is victory in the armor that you put on. The armor makes you victorious. The armor is what allows you to be more than a conqueror. But if you take the armor off, yo, what you got? Exposure and vulnerability and ultimately captivity. So I'm really trying to encourage you guys, man. Yo, stay locked in. Recognize that what you're dealing with is something that is above the natural. This is literally your season for breakthrough. But I have to talk to you about you lose if you take the armor off. If you don't recognize that what you are dealing with is so much more spiritual than it is natural, you will not have the victory that God intended for you to have. What God wants to do is God literally wants to shake the foundation of what you're dealing with, that it causes a break. When Paul and Silas were in the dungeon of the prison, they were in the dungeon of the prison, shackled to the walls. The Bible says that the earth began to shake, and it began to shake the foundation of the jail. And there was a breaking that took place when the shaking took place. There was a break that took place. And I believe that God wants to shake things up in our lives so that there can be a break. Because as long as there's a break, there's a way, there's an out, there's room for you in that break. But you have to be in the place, and you have to be where God is in that moment. And when that freeing happens in your individual life, it has the ability to transcend to the lives of others. So when Paul and Silas found themselves in a place of prayer, and I quite naturally believe that as they prayed, they began to invoke a response from God. And God's response to their praying was this shaking that took place that caused a break. And it was so monumental because it not only broke them free, but it broke everyone in the prison free. And so everyone that's locked in that same prison status, everyone that is held captive by the same thing that you're held captive by, everyone that is going through something similar to what you are going through, when you experience this break, when you have this breakthrough, when you become the overcomer and the conqueror, you break not only for you, but for everyone dealing in the same place that you're dealing in. And so you have to recognize how powerful and how important it is for you to be spiritual and for you to be in your place of prayer and for you to maintain your armor so that you can create a break that happens across the line of people that you're connected to. It's time to create momentum in prayer so that we can engage God enough that we can invoke a response from God. I believe God wants to respond to what we offer him, but if we won't offer him anything, what will the response be? And so God wants you to be the overcomer. God wants to show you something so that the enemy loses. So the next part is really dealing with the enemy. You lose. But the enemy can't be declared the loser if I don't do everything I need to do to win. Yo, I love you guys. I'm signing off for right now. Look for more of this soon. Share it with your people. Post it on the gram. And beyond anything else, man, keep your armor on. I love you guys. Until next time, Pastor Tim. Much love.